You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Well, this is the, if we're keeping track, and I guess I am keeping track because I'm mentioning it to you. This is the first Mother's Day that we have spent together in our building in 3 years. So that's definitely something to take note of, and I'm glad that you are here, and I hope that you are glad that you are here as well. I want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day this morning. One of the reasons why I mentioned that this is the first time that we've been able to be here for a couple of years on Mother's Day, last Mother's Day, I honestly don't know if you remember, and I'm not asking you to tell me, and I'm not just saying this because to try to make you feel bad or whatever, but I know that when you weren't in this building, some of you tuned in and listened to the messages that were put online. Some of you went other places, and that's totally okay. I'm not trying to, yes, I am trying to guilt you, and that is totally fine. The reason I mention that is, again, not to make you feel guilty. It's just that I wanted to spend last Mother's Day, we spent some time in 2 Timothy and talking about Timothy's mom, Eunice. And just as I was praying about Mother's Day this week, as I was thinking about what to say, and there were a number of things that I had to do in related to the conference this year, I want to go back to 2 Timothy. That's where we're going to be today. We want to talk a little bit about Eunice. So if you did tune in to what we were talking about last Mother's Day, some of it may sound a little bit familiar. I hope and I trust that the Lord will still be able to speak to you through his word. I'm confident of probably, that's the one thing that I can be 100% confident of, is that the Lord will speak through his word this morning. But we want to just talk about moms today. We want to talk about specifically one mom, but we can still celebrate today, and it's the reason why we have this day. We celebrate the impact that mothers make today. We celebrate the impact that mothers make every day. In fact, the Bible is very clear as you go through it that honoring moms is something that God wants us to do. It says it right in the very, in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother. And then that commandment was repeated in Scripture, specifically in the New Testament, by both Jesus and by the Apostle Paul. And so honoring our moms is something that is truly on God's heart. And it's something that is very important for all of us to do. Because even though moms make a difference, even though moms make a world of difference, they often don't feel like they're making a world of difference. I know that that was the case with my mom. In fact, I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but Mother's Day was probably my mom's least favorite day of the year. As part of my mom's makeup, but she did not want to be singled out. That was just the way that was the way my mom was built. But we want to recognize that. We want to recognize that mothers make a world of difference, even when they don't think that they do. When a mother is in the middle of trying to nurse infants or chase toddlers or herd preschoolers or homeschool kids, negotiate life with teenagers or their husbands, she is often not thinking about making a big difference. all the while she is making that big difference. She's just hoping to make it through. That's why it's important on a day like this to make sure that we stop, that we thank, and that we honor our moms. The word honor, the word honor means to express value, if you look in the dictionary, to express value. So in essence, when we are honoring our mothers, we are telling them that they are valuable. And we don't want to just thank our mothers. We want to reflect on what it takes for mothers to really make the difference they long to make in the lives of their families, of their children. So today, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to all of us about the impact that a godly mother can make. And I think that by extension, when we talk about these things, what we'll be able to see is we'll be able to see how you and me, whether you are a mom or you are not a mom, the impact that you can make. Because I think that these principles supersede the realm of motherhood. I think that these are principles that each and every one of us can apply to our lives and to the people that we care about, that we love, and we can hopefully make a difference in their lives. But specifically, we want to talk about the difference that moms can make in the lives of their children. And just to talk about the investment of one godly mother. It's a godly mother who is only mentioned by name in the Bible once. Only once. Her son is much more well known. He's mentioned at least 25 times in Scripture. He has two books in the New Testament that are addressed to him. He didn't write them. His name is Timothy, and his mom's name, as we said at the beginning, was Eunice. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Eunice's life, and we're going to see what Eunice did to impact Timothy, and then how God used that investment that she made on his life, how that was made to impact you, and certainly to impact me. So I want to talk to you today about the impact of a godly mother. And we're going to look at several different scripture passages, but we're going to start in the book of 2 Timothy. And I want to look at 2 Timothy, first of all, chapter 1. And as you're looking there, I just want you to consider, as we look at Eunice's life, Timothy's mom, we're going to see what she did to invest as a mom in the life of her son, Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I just want to make sure that we really highlight this, that obviously what we're going to say today on Mother's Day is going to be targeted specifically at moms, but these verses that we're going to look at have a much wider impact. And so this is obviously, as we said, for anyone who wants to influence, anyone who wants to impact the next generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks to all women. Not all women have children, but all women can have an impact in young lives. It speaks to fathers. It speaks to men in general. It speaks to those of you who work with children in kids ministry or in youth ministry. If you're a person who wants to impact the next generation in a spiritually significant way, you're going to learn something from the life of Eunice. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. And before we read the scripture together, I would just be honored if you would pray with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us as we look into your word this morning. As we celebrate Mother's Day this year, we're just glad that we can be together, and we're glad that we can open up your word. I'm asking today that we, as we look at the life of a lady whose story is recorded for us in your word, I pray that through her example, through your teaching, through the scriptures, we might have hope and that we might have encouragement. And I pray that moms today would be strengthened for the calling that you have placed upon their lives, for impacting their children, impacting the next generation in spiritually significant ways. I pray for your help as I open up your word. I pray that as we hear it, that you would speak very clearly and that we would respond in the manner that you desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me read for you 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to just read the very first five verses of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. And as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So in these verses, this morning I just want to give you just a few different points, things that Eunice modeled in her own life that I think that we can translate to our lives. We're going to find here in these verses that I just read, the first way that a mom can impact the life of her children and other lives. And I put it this way, a mom can impact lives through modeling a sincere faith. Through modeling a sincere faith. That's what Paul says here in verse 4 and verse 5. I remember with tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And then verse 5, I reminded of your, what? Sincere faith, right? A faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. So the first thing that we're going to see that comes out clearly is that Paul highlights this idea of modeling a sincere faith. Paul highlights this idea, and he says, in other words, something along the lines of, Timothy, I know that you have a sincere faith. I know it because you have come to possess this sincere faith, but it didn't start with you. It first came in your grandmother Lois. It also was evident in your mother Eunice. And now I'm sure that it's in you. He's just saying, basically, Timothy, you were blessed to have a godly grandmother. Timothy, you were blessed to have a godly mom. The Greek word here that's translated sincere is a word that... I don't know if it'll sound familiar to you or not, but it is the word anupokritos. And so if you break that word down, the first part, the on, it means not. Okay? Stick with me. And the last part, upokritos, is the Greek word that gives us the English word hypocrite. And so we all know what a hypocrite is, right? So basically, I'm not sure why the Greek language does this, but Paul is basically saying that Eunice, Lois, and Timothy modeled a faith that was not hypocritical. In other words, it was genuine. So it's sincere. It's a sincere faith. It's a faith that is not hypocritical. It is real. Did I just turn off? Maybe? I don't know. It's genuine. It's fascinating that the Greek word for hypocrite literally and originally was applied to those who were actors on a stage. It wasn't necessarily a negative. It was just meant to describe somebody who played a part. and who pretended to be someone who they actually weren't in real life. And so in time it began to be applied to anybody who pretends, who isn't exactly genuine. So Paul is saying that Timothy and Timothy's mom Eunice and Timothy's grandmother Lois, that they had a faith that they weren't pretending, that it was sincere, it was genuine, it was real. And so Timothy was blessed by having a mother with a sincere faith. And when I consider Mother's Day, in my world, I thank the Lord that I have that kind of mom. I was blessed to have a mom who had a sincere and a genuine faith. The same can be said about my mother-in-law. I am blessed to have a mother-in-law who displays for me a sincere faith. I am blessed to have a wife, Claudette, who displays a sincere faith to me and to her children. And I see that played out in the adults that we have all grown into. And the adults that my kids have grown into. I mean, they have seen and they have experienced that from the earliest days. So what I would say to you today is this. If you want to impact your children, one of the things that you need is what Eunice had. And what she had, according to Paul, was a sincere faith. It wasn't hypocritical. It was genuine. It doesn't have to be perfect. I really need to stress that because my mom wasn't perfect. My wife isn't perfect. My mother-in-law is almost perfect. I know where my bread's buttered. It doesn't have to be a perfect or sinless faith because there is no such thing, right? We all mess up, but it has to be sincere. Howard Hendricks once said this, "You cannot impart what you do not possess." If we hope to have a sincere faith that we display to the people around us and specifically to our children, guess where it has to start? It has to start with us. It has to start with a sincere faith. And so, moms, what I would say to you on this Mother's Day is one of the best gifts that you can return to your children is to be a picture of sincere faith, to make your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ real and live that faith out. That you would make it a priority to keep your own faith fresh and growing and alive and vibrant. And at this point, I know my mom would be restless. Because some moms hear this and they kind of just feel kind of weighed down, right? And they go, well, that's a big, tall task. You feel like you're already being stretched really thin. Right in the midst of what's going on today, you might feel like you're just doing well to get dressed, getting food on the table, or going to work and just not worrying about much else. Try to get those kids to do some homework when you get home or when they get home. And I understand, life is messy, and I do understand that. And so sometimes we feel like life is so busy or life is so messy that we just don't have time for modeling that sincere faith. We don't have time to get into the Word on our own. We don't have time for quiet time. We don't have time for our prayer lives. So let me just ask you this, and please understand I am not trying to make you feel guilty here. But I just do want you to consider this question. If you don't take care of yourself physically, do you think that that might have an impact on your family? I think so. if you don't eat well, or if you don't get enough sleep, or if you don't take care of yourself physically, eventually you're going to give out physically. And then you have no, then you're no good to those that you are trying to love. So the same question applies to our spiritual lives as well. If you don't take care of yourself spiritually, do you think that that might not have an impact on your family as well? I think it would. I think it does. If you're spiritually malnourished, if you don't have anything going in, then how can you give out? So mothers who want to impact their children, do their children a favor by taking care of their own spiritual growth, their own spiritual faith, their own spiritual lives. I'm always reminded of, I don't know if you've ever ridden on an airplane. You don't ride on airplanes very often these days. But when, if you have ridden on an airplane, you've probably heard the speech at the beginning, all the things that you're supposed to do other than scream when the plane is crashing. And what the speech really tells it, there's one part that always resonates with me. I've never understood it. It's when the masks fall down out of the ceiling and what you're supposed to do. Everybody's going to panic if the masks fall down out of the ceiling. Let's just be honest. But if you have a cool head, what you were supposed to do, according to the flight attendants, is you are supposed to take a mask and put it on yourself first and then help your children or the people that are around you and put their masks on next. That always made no sense to me. I just thought, wow, that's kind of selfish. But they do that for a reason, because they want you to... here's what I wrote it down. Most moms, that kind of mentality, it goes against the natural instincts of almost every mother out there. They're immediately going to say, well, I got to take care of my kids. I'm going to put their mask on first. But they say, no, put your own mask on first. Because if you are unconscious, you can't help your children. You can't help the people around you. It's the same principle that we're talking about here. Take care of yourself spiritually so that you can take care of others spiritually, specifically your children. It's only as you breathe deeply, it's only as you take time to pray and talk to God, it's only as you take time to open up His Word and feed your soul spiritual oxygen, the life-giving work of God's Spirit flowing in you, that you can take care of others. One of the best gifts that you can give your children is the same gift that Eunice gave Timothy. It was a modeling of her sincere faith. She took care of herself spiritually, and she passed that down to her son. She was a good example. A mom who impacts lives, first of all, is a mom who models a sincere faith. Let me show you a second thing that Eunice did that moms and all the rest of us can still do. Take a look at 2 Timothy. Just turn the page to chapter 3. And let's look at verse 14. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 14. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing that from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." You see, in these verses that we just read, especially in verse 14 and 15, the second thing that Eunice did is the same thing that moms can do today. See, a mom who impacts lives not only models a sincere faith, but they also impact lives by communicating the Scripture. By communicating the Scripture. A mother can impact lives by communicating, by speaking, by telling, by reading the Word of God to her children. A mother can impact lives by communicating
to the people around her, to her children, to her family members, the scriptures. That's what Eunice did. And Paul here in 2 Timothy gives Eunice a shout out. He doesn't say her name, but he says, Timothy, hang on to what you believe and hang on to what you have become convinced about, because you know where you learned it. You learned it from your mom. And where did she learn it from? Well, she learned it from her mom, Lois. It was Eunice who taught when Timothy was a child, and she communicated to him the scriptures, the sacred writings. And what Paul is saying is that this book, what was communicated to Timothy, was sacred, was holy, was set apart. It was different than every other book because it was God's book. It is God's book. And he illustrates the point in verse 16. Take a look at that. All scripture, this is a very familiar verse, should be, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So Paul is saying, this is what happened to you, Timothy. You had a grandmother, you had a mom who were godly. They modeled sincere faith, and they communicated to you the scriptures. And those scriptures are God-breathed, and they are profitable for teaching, for reproof, and so on and so on and so on. See, what Eunice did was she taught Timothy God's book. She taught him the scriptures. She opened the scriptures with her little boy, and she taught him from the earliest ages. Some translations probably say that, you know, they carry the idea of right from the very beginning or from infancy. Eunice taught him from the earliest days about the words of God, the words of God that were going to point him, that point all of us to salvation, that come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a gift. That's a gift to have a mom who would do that for you. Mothers make an impact on lives by communicating the scriptures. Eunice did that. When I was a kid, my mom, she made us enter these Bible memorization competitions. And so every Saturday, when I was trying to watch hockey, my mom would say, it's time to learn your verses. And boy, she's not here, and I hope she's not listening. She was militant about it, let me tell you. She made it a priority. And now, when I think back to those times, I'm so grateful that she made it a priority, that I would not only, that she would communicate the scriptures to me, but she would make me myself hide the word of God in my heart, like it says in Psalm 119. My mom was a godly woman who, she modeled sincere faith, and she was a lady who communicated to me the scriptures. I think one of the great gifts that you can give your children is to give them the gift of knowing the scriptures. So read it to them. Make sure that they have a Bible. If they're really young, get a Bible with pictures. There's so many good resources out there. Make sure your kids are equipped with the Word of God, because that's what we talk about here. We communicate the scriptures here. And we should be communicating the scriptures at home too. This book is from God. And it shows us so much, but it shows us the way to salvation. It's the most important thing in this world that could ever be. The story of Jesus. And just as we have a duty to pass it on to the people that live next to us, or the people across the world, we have a duty to pass it on to our children as well. T. teach them God's book, communicate the scriptures. Here's the third thing, and I'm going to say that this is my last point, but I don't want to trip you up because there's four subpoints here, so buckle up, everybody. A mom can make a huge impact by modeling sincere faith, by communicating the scriptures, and now I get that as I'm saying this, some of you could be feeling, well, I just don't do that very well. I get scattered. I'm not good at communicating, or I get super busy. I'm working hard just to kind of get through, and all this seems overwhelming. I get that. I'm overwhelmed all the time. Sometimes we feel really inadequate, don't we? We feel like it's just too big a task. So I guess what I would say is, if you feel like that, then let me show you one more thing that Eunice did that I think our children could benefit from, and certainly the people around us could benefit from it as well. So I would put it this way. We've already seen that a mom can model sincere faith. We've already seen that a mom can communicate the scriptures. The third thing that we're going to see is this, that a mother can impact lives by leveraging godly help. By leveraging godly help. By making the most out of godly help. There are resources. And a wise mother would say, I don't have to do all of this by myself. I can get some help. There is help that God has provided. And a mom can impact lives by leveraging godly help. And when you read about Eunice's life, there is just very, very little in the scripture. There's just a little bit in the scripture about it. But when you put the pieces together, the best that we can tell is that she may have been a spiritually single mom. We don't know anything about Timothy's father. We know that Eunice was married. We know Timothy had a dad. We know that his dad was a Greek. We know that Eunice was a Jew. But we're never really told if Timothy's father had a sincere faith. But when you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, I reminded of your sincere faith that was first in your grandma and in your mom. Mentions, I don't know why Paul wouldn't say, and your dad, if that wasn't the case. Eunice understood that maybe she would have to go it alone as far as spiritually bringing up Timothy in the way that she wanted and in the ways that she knew God wanted. So to do that, what she did was she recruited, or she leveraged some godly help, some godly resources. So let me just show you four things really quick. Four resources that I think Eunice maybe kind of leveraged or recruited in the raising of Timothy. The first one would be godly family members. Godly family members. As best we can tell, Eunice didn't have a husband who believed, who necessarily shared her commitment to Jesus. We don't know it for sure, but it doesn't seem to be that way. But she did have a mother, Lois, who modeled a sincere faith. And from infancy, somehow Lois, as well as Eunice, invested in Timothy. And what I would ask those of you who are moms today is this: who are the people in your family, who are the people in your family circle that can help you instill God's word, God's truth in the lives of your kids? Who are those people? Ideally, it would be your husband, right? If you're a single mom or a spiritually single mom, who are the other people in your wider family circles? Do you have a grandmother? Do you have a grandfather who is a godly person, who models a sincere faith? Who are the people that you can look up to, who your children can look up to? And I'm so thankful that
our three kids not only had their mom, but they had godly grandmothers, godly grandfathers. And from the earliest age, both sets of our parents were building into our kids' lives by being great examples, by loving them the way that God loves them. And grandparents, I would say this to you, if you have the privilege of being a grandfather or a grandmother, let me just say this, you play a huge role. You can help parents raise their children to know and to love the Lord. And that's part of your mandate. Because just as moms need to model sincere faith, so do you as their grandmothers and grandfathers. If you're a mom and you have parents who share faith in Jesus, I would say to you, leverage that. Recruit that. Get them involved. Encourage their connection with their kids. Maybe it is an uncle or an aunt or a family member or a sibling. Leverage godly family members. That's the first one. The second one I would say is godly Christians at church. Leverage the influence of godly Christians from your church. I'm going to flip over to Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Acts 16 and verse 1, it says, Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, and his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered him for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased their numbers daily. So here's the story. Paul's on this missionary journey, and he comes to this local church in Lystra. And in Lystra, he meets this young guy named Timothy. And verse 2 tells us that the people in the church were all saying, hey, you gotta get to know this guy. This guy is a godly young man, and they spoke well of him. And Timothy's mom somehow got him to church, and somehow she connected him to a local church where he became part of it as he grew up. And he must have been serving as well. And the people in that church said, Paul, Timothy is a keeper. He was someone Paul should watch out for. My point is this. Eunice leveraged the help of the local congregation of her church, of believers, to help bring up her son. And to all of your moms, I want to give you an encouragement. I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for being a part of our church, because you are a part of that. You are a part of that godly help. And if you want to involve your children in a local church, then it's like you're including a circle of spiritual family that you can impact your kids for the glory of God. I grew up in the Gospel Chapel in Vanderhoof, British Columbia. I grew up in a local church, and I can certainly look back and I can think about not just my parents, but I can think about other people in the church that I looked up to and who leveraged or who my parents leveraged to help me grow into the person that I am. Sunday school teachers, boys club leaders, youth leaders are great examples. Rob Cochran, who is the regional director of the AGC West, he was my youth pastor. And I know that my parents relied on him to be a positive and a godly influence in my life. And he is that even today. And so moms, what I would say to you today is to make sure that you make it a priority to involve yourselves and embed your children in the lives and the life of your local church. Whether that's here, best choice, whether it's here or in the church down the road, embed your lives in the life of your local church. And there's so many great churches around here, isn't there? So good. A godly family members, godly Christians at church, godly Christian leaders. Did you notice that in chapter 16 of Acts? I'll read it for you again. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him, and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all know that his father was a Greek. I would say the third thing would be godly Christian leaders. She leveraged Paul to be around her son and to be an influence on Paul. She ultimately let Timothy go with Paul on his missionary journey. Paul meets Timothy, and he wants Timothy to come along with him. And I don't know how old Timothy would have been at that point, but he probably would have been pretty young. And Eunice would have had these conflicting desires. This is a good thing. Paul's a good guy, but he's taking my son away from him, from me. But Eunice somehow didn't stand in the way, and Timothy went, and it changed his life. In fact, Eunice lost the proximity to her son, at least for a time, but she gained something, because Timothy now was a spiritual leader that he may have never been without that journey with Paul. And I don't know if you remember, but when I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul addressed to Timothy, and he calls him my beloved child. Paul saw Timothy as his spiritual son. You have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my suffering. He says, Timothy, you know my life. You have been close to me. You've seen what I've taught. You've seen how I live. I have poured my life into you, Paul says to Timothy. And that was all something that happened because Eunice was willing to let go of her son for the glory of God. And I would say to you, moms, one of the great gifts that you can give your child is to encourage them to be mentored by someone that you respect, by a godly Christian leader who has interest in their lives. In the early 2000s, the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada did a study called Hemorrhaging Faith, and it talked about how they studied local churches and found that a disproportionately tragic percentage of students that went through high school and into college or university age years, many of them walked away from the church and walked... They just simply walked away from their faith, at least for a time. And they also did a follow-up study to that called Renegotiating Faith. And what they found was this, that when the students that were transitioning from high school and into young adulthood, if they had a mentor, if they were more involved in higher Christian education, they would do way better in terms of going back to or staying in the church. See, the church is, and it will not get better, but the church is under attack. It's under attack from the political realm. It's in the societal realm. It's under attack all the time because the message that the church preaches, the message that the word preaches, is not a. It's not a message that the world wants to hear anymore. They don't want to hear that there's only one way. But we need to strengthen the church. And the only way that we're going to do that is by impacting the next generation. And the only way we're going to impact the next generation is by being like Eunice. Modeling a sincere faith, communicating scriptures, leveraging godly help in different ways, family members, church people, godly Christian leaders. And then lastly, this, just God's grace. It's just God's grace. God himself and his grace. It was important to have godly family members, yes. It's important to have people at church and godly leaders, but most important, what helped Eunice, the most was God himself. It's interesting that when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he starts and he finishes the book by talking about God's grace. In chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "To Timothy, my beloved child, grace." And then right at the end of the book, in chapter 4, he talks about grace again. Verse 22, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Grace is God's favor. It is his goodness. It is his help. And it is our children, if our children are ever going to grow up and carry on the faith and be strong and stalwart in Jesus Christ, it will not just be because you are a good parent. And I don't believe otherwise. But we can't do anything without the grace of God. What's the most important is God's grace. It is God's grace that takes a child, that finds a child, that keeps a child, that grows a child. It is God's grace that gives us help, because God's grace is available to all of us. And so, moms, what I would say to you today is this. If you want to make an impact in the life of your child, keep pouring out your heart in prayer and ask that God's grace would be upon your children, and that he would go before them and he would go after them. Oh, yes. I guarantee you, he will use you. He will use others, but ask him to do a work that none of you can do. God's grace is what changes a life. So on this Mother's Day, I want to say to all the moms, whether your kids are little or whether they have grown and gone, I want to say to you, thank you. I want to say thank you for investing so much in the lives of your children, of others. Thank you for leaving a legacy that will outlive you. Thank you for investing in those who will now go and invest in others. You have made a huge difference. And so we honor you today. We honor your efforts. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And that's what I would say to you. The greatest gift that God wants to give you, that you can help pass on to your kids, is the gift of eternal life that comes by his grace through your sincere faith. So at some point in Eunice's life, we don't know exactly when, but she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she passed that on somehow to her son until he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally himself. By grace through faith, she received it and it changed her life. And she used that to impact her son's life. So, as I close today, let me just ask you this. Do you have a sincere faith? A faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if not, man, today's a good day to do that. Moms can make a world of difference, and it starts when God makes a world of difference in the life of a mother. Happy Mother's Day. God bless. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do want to pray your blessing on each and every mother who hears this message. And sometimes we don't feel, or they don't feel, like they're making a big difference, but they are. And so I'm asking that today you will help them to know that that they have made an investment in their children, and that you will continue to use them, that your grace still follows each and every one of them and follows their children. So I pray that today each of us, whether we're a mom or whether we're not, that we would have a desire to have that sincere faith through the grace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we could use that faith to impact other lives as well. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your sacrifice. And we thank you for our moms. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close our service? Hebrews chapter 13 says this: May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.